Episode 144. Good afternoon. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here at BulaNetwork.com. Well, it's afternoon as I hit the record button. It could be the middle of the night. It could be early morning where you're at. It's the great thing about podcast, the whole time shifting thing. Hey, let's talk about expectations, our own expectations, and the expectations of our customers. We'll do that next. We start our businesses, we launch forth in our businesses, and we conduct business every day, and we have these expectations. We have sales that we expect to make. We have solutions that we expect to provide. Lots of expectations. You've got them, I've got them, we've all got them. Sometimes they come true, quite often times they do not. Sometimes we are pleasantly surprised. Most of the time, we're probably disappointed. Happy accidents do sometimes happen, but I don't know about you and your life, but they don't happen nearly enough. I remember being in college and I got out of my car to go to a morning class. And as I'm walking across the campus, and it's the only time this had ever happened to me, by the way, I was going to LSU. So I'm walking past Tiger Stadium, and right on the sidewalk outside the stadium is a folded $20 bill. And I mean, there's nobody. It was an early morning class, and I got there especially early. I think it was a 7:30 class. Yeah, those were fun. And I looked down and just could not believe my great fortune. Now, I couldn't help but think about someone else who was having horrible fortune. So there's a paradox. A happy accident for me was probably not a very happy accident for somebody else. Yeah, I took it. I had another happy accident that happened some years later. I was married. I'm pretty sure we had Ryan. I'm pretty sure we had our first child. And a card arrives in the mail. It had no name, just a very odd thing. It had no return address, and it had no name that it was addressed to. It was just addressed to our address. And I open it up, and the card, I'll never forget. I don't know if I've still got the card somewhere. It had on the cover of the card, it had a picture of a punch bowl and some bread rolls. And you open it up, and it said, "Roll with the punches." And there was a $20 bill, a crisp $20 bill. No signature, no writing of any kind. I asked everybody I knew. No one admitted to sending it. Another happy accident. It's funny, right? Two stories, both of them have the same dollar amount attached to them. $20. $20. Now, you know, I'm no chump. $20 is still $20, but $20 is not life changing for most of us. Thankfully, happy accidents. And you know, both of these happened well over 30 years ago. Now I haven't had one in about 30 years. Well, that's not true. I've had happy accidents since then, but those are two that just leap to my mind. It happens. Now, it would take far longer than this podcast needs to go for me to recount the times that I've been disappointed, though. The times that, you know, I've had a certain expectation and it hasn't happened. So let's think about this, because in our businesses, we have expectations. I'm a fan of Randy Commissar wrote a book called Getting to Plan B. He wrote it with a co-author, and I'm sorry, Mr. Co-author, I can't remember your name, but of course it's easy for me to remember Commissar because, well, his first name is Randy. Plan B, because Plan A doesn't always work out. Now, the reason that we call it Plan A is because we expect it to work out. We want it to work out. We're doing everything in our power to plan that this first thing is going to work out. It doesn't always happen, but that's the intent. That's the expectation. We don't have Plan A and a Plan B expecting Plan A to fail or not work. The whole reason we have moved it up into the A slot, yeah, we think that's the winner. We think that's the good one. We think that's the one that will, yeah, that's the one that'll make it. And when it doesn't, well, okay, that wasn't our expectation. We thought A would be the thing. That's why it's A. We go into a month and we may have expectations. Now, as I hit the record button today, it is Thursday, September the 27th, 2012, the 27th. So we basically have tomorrow. And if you're in the retail business, then okay, maybe you've got Saturday and Sunday. Sunday is the 30th, the last day of the month, closing out your month. You've got some expectation. You probably entered the month with some dollar amount that you expected to generate this month. Did you make it? Are you going to make it? Is that expectation going to happen for you? For some of you, it's going to happen. For others, it's not. Some of you might exceed your expectation. Some of you might not. We've got all kinds of expectations in our businesses. We have an expectation for what we think our marketing effort will produce. We have expectations for what kind of customer we think will attract. We have expectations for what kind of a price point we believe, you know, will be most effective in our business. We have expectations on how we're going to deliver this product, this service, this whatever it is that we do. And sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. And then we can wrestle down to the ground as best we can our own ability to predict, our own ability to project, our own ability to plan our business. And that's a craft all unto itself. And there are a lot of people that don't spend enough time planning and projecting and trying to predict. Now, we go into a business and what we would most hope to accomplish is predictable success. We would hope to have predictable income, predictable revenue, predictable profit, predictable lead gen. Whatever the critical numbers are, we go in hoping that our predictions can come true. Those predictions often become, well, they don't become, they probably are the expectation that we have. And we're disappointed. We're sadly disappointed when these things don't happen. And so frequently they don't. And we go back to the drawing board and we reconnoiter and we rework the numbers and open up our Excel spreadsheets and rework everything in hopes that maybe we can get it right next month. But our customers have expectations too. And I think we too frequently don't get those lined up alongside our own expectations. What do your customers expect? Do you even know? I'm rather amazed, and I don't know why. I really don't know why I'm amazed, but I'm rather amazed at the business people who don't give any thought to what their customers expect. We have daily reminders that there are countless businesses that don't really care. Now, let me pick on a local Dallas-Fort Worth-based company. Happens to be a big employer around here, American Airlines. Now, American Airlines is in the throes of bankruptcy and reorganization. There's been countless talks about possible mergers with United. And airlines are typically easy to pick on, but we have two contrasting airlines here in Dallas, Texas. We have American Airlines on the one hand, struggling, suffering, horrible reputation. People are on the news. Travelers make the news almost nightly, exclaiming that they will never travel on American again because of, you know, some of the bad things that have been happening. And of course, you know, pilots have been calling in maintenance issues and whatnot. And it is believed that there is this informal thing happening where the pilots are sabotaging things. And last night they reported that the on-time statistics for American this time last year, 78% of their flights were on time. That seemed horrible to me, but what do I know? This year, same time, 68%. Now, by anybody's measurement, that's not good. It's not good. Do you get on a plane and is that the roulette wheel that you're playing? You're thinking, well, okay, 68% chance that we'll get there on time. I'm good to go. Give me that ticket. That's the one I want. No. No, they tell us that the flight is going to take off at a certain time. They tell us it's going to land at a certain time. They're the ones that put that down, not us. We get that ticket. We purchase that ticket. We board that plane. We fully expect that we'll take off. We understand things happen. Yes, we do. Now, in this part of the country, springtime brings with it some thunderstorms and potential tornadoes and some bad weather. Now, where you live, there may be other things. There may be snowstorms. There may be de-icing that has to happen. Well, that doesn't happen so much here. But we understand that the skies are really dark. The wind's really blowing. There's all kinds of weather alerts. Sure. We understand this flight may be delayed. I used to do a significant amount of air travel, which is probably why I'm just so don't want to travel anymore. You know, I had enough of it, and it just never failed. I don't care what airline you were flying. I don't care what hub you were flying in or out of. I don't care what city you were in. If you were traveling on Friday afternoon, when everybody and their dog who was on the road, everybody's trying to get back home. It didn't matter if there were clear skies from coast to coast. Flights were not going to be on time. It was just the most aggravating thing in the world to me. We expected them to be on time, and they weren't. So American Airlines is in the throes of this, you know, fight for your life kind of a mindset right now. And It doesn't appear they care so much, and customers are picking up on that. And so customers now who have an expectation, and we're just singling out a single expectation, the expectation that the flight will be on time, departing and arriving. Okay, well, it's happening 68% of the time. 68% of the time, which out of 100 flights, okay, if you're on the 68 that make it on time, that's great and that's wonderful. But out of 100 flights, if you're on the 32 that aren't, you're disappointed. That's a pretty big number. That's a pretty big number of disappointment. And what's more disappointing from looking at it where I'm sitting, and so many other people that just are observing this whole thing sit, you want to get some sense that they at least care, that they at least care that the expectation is not being met, but they are in good company. American Airlines is in good company with other companies who just don't seem to show that they care, because they have expectations and they have troubles. Now, we all in this area, we know the troubles that American Airlines has, and many people around here care because, well, they've got relatives, they've got family, they've got friends who work there. And last thing we want, last thing any city wants, is more displaced workers. So collectively, we've got a little more skin in the game than those of you that don't live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Those of you that live in other places where it's other airlines that their hub is wherever you're at. Atlanta, for instance, doesn't care so much. St. Louis doesn't care so much. Chicago doesn't care so much about American Airlines. Okay, but we do. And so you've not only got a population that has an expectation, you've got customers that have an expectation. The airline, they clearly have an expectation. They expect the pilots to just salute everything and move on. Now, I don't know what all the issues are there. And, you know, here we just got last night late, we got the NFL referees. We got that debacle solved and situated, at least we hope. Tonight will be the first night back. Whatever this Thursday night game is, the NFL refs will play. And so everybody goes into these negotiations. Everybody goes into a marketplace. We go into these relationships. We go into these situations, and we've all got an expectation. And how do we get on the same page? Well, it's a full-blown conversation to just talk about how we get off the same page, if we ever started out on the same page. I mean, tonight, the NFL and the NFL referees, they begin an 8-year labor contract. 8 years. So hopefully there won't be a dispute that arises until we get to, you know, about seven more, seven and a half. But it got crossways, and being in an NFL town, we get, well, the referees had an expectation that thing that they signed way back however many years ago for their pension and whatnot, they just don't want to give that up. They're not asking for anything more. I don't know what all's true here, by the way. I didn't dissect all that because I don't care that much about it. But they just didn't want to give up what they negotiated for the last time. And here in a NFL city, we heard all kinds of numbers. We heard like $3 million for this year. And, you know, if you're like me, I'm thinking $3 million. I mean, come on, the NFL, they're printing money. They're printing money. Jerry Jones bought the Dallas Cowboys in 1989 for $185 million, give or take. I mean, what's the last number? I mean, is it up to $2 billion yet? Valued at close to $2 billion? That's a pretty good investment. He may not be the most articulate guy on the planet, but he's no fool. Listen, we have all these expectations. We expect certain things as service product providers, information providers, that is businesses. As business people, we have expectations for our business, for our own productivity and our own profitability. And our customers have expectations too. Now, here's the real rub to all this is how can we align these? How can we align these? How can we make it where it's congruent, where it makes sense? So much of this stems from communication. So much of this stems from words. Words. How many times have you heard something like this? Listen, you told me, you promised me, sure, we all hear it. And you'll hear people say, I never told you. I don't remember promising you. And now we're off track. We're just off track. This week I've had And as you well know, I hit record button and I'm just, you know, boy, if you want to know what's going on with me, all you got to do is listen to the podcast. Cause I talk about what's timely because I talk about what's happening to me in hopes that that helps you. And I hope that it does. But really starting last week, but really this week in earnest has been the customer having an unreasonable expectation. And we all know sometimes they do. Sometimes as customers ourselves, we have unreasonable expectations. We know that. We get all that. But we know what we know. If we are sitting in a boardroom at American Airlines, we know we're fighting for our lives. We know that fuel costs are going higher. We know we've got labor issues with our pilots. We know that we're getting slaughtered in the media every day. We know that there's a microphone and a camera in front of travelers out at DFW International daily who are griping and complaining about the flight being canceled, the flight not being on time. And we got all these sound bites of people who say, I'm never, ever going to fly American Airlines again. Now we're in the boardroom and that's us. This is our company. Let's pretend. This is our world. And so we can look and we could say, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, that these people are not cutting us some slack, that it's unbelievable that the pilots aren't, I mean, what are they doing? They're killing the very airline they work for. Because everybody's got their own perception. Everybody has their own idea. Here's what the traveler, you know, WFAA, Channel 8, the ABC affiliate, the 900-pound gorilla here in local news. So their camera crew comes, and I've just gotten off a plane that's an hour late, and a microphone is stuck in my face. I'm hacked. It's an hour I won't get back. I expected to be here an hour ago. I'm just now getting here. It's unbelievable. You know, this airline, they suck. It's just yada, 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 yada. And of course, when these kinds of things happen, you've got emotions being pretty highly charged on all sides. Now, clearly, American Airlines is under duress. So there's that issue. Hopefully, your business is not under duress. Hopefully, your business is not in bankruptcy, reorganization, but you might be. You might be. Is American Airlines better served to try to switch hats and to try to think like a customer? You think that might benefit them? Well, of course. Who would argue with that? I doubt they would even argue with it. Now, what they might argue is they might argue that they're trying. Well, trying doesn't help. Because as customers, we don't give people that serve us, we don't give them credit for trying. And our customers don't tend to give us credit for trying. Don't try it. Do it. Make it happen. Now, there's two F words. No, not that one. There's two F words that really are at the crux of this whole thing. And it's fear and frustration. Fear and frustration. Your customers have fear. It's your job to alleviate and eliminate that fear. Now, I don't know what your customers are afraid of, but they are. Trust me. Now, I'm not saying all of them. But when you've got customer problems, you've got customers who are afraid. As a result of that fear, you've got customers who are frustrated. Now, sometimes you've got customers who are both. Sometimes you've got customers who are just frustrated. But if you've got a customer who's got fear, I promise you there's frustration. You can have frustration without fear. I don't very often, if ever, see fear without frustration. Make sense? Now we got to think about this. We got to climb behind the eyes of our customers. because you got nothing if you don't have a customer base. If you lose your customer base, if your customer base begins to erode, and I don't care if you've got one customer or 5 million customers, you've got to protect and take care of the customer base. It is the foundation of your business, which is why we call it customer base. These are important people. You cannot treat them like second-rate, second-class citizens. You have got to protect them. You have got to watch over them. You've got to take good care of them. You've also got to assure them. During their moments of fear and their moments of frustrations, if you hide in your office, you're making a terrible, terrible mistake. You've got to be proactive. The moment you sense, and you better have your antenna up, you better have your senses heightened so that you can tell when somebody's beginning to lose a little faith and confidence, because when we purchase from somebody, we want to feel like we did the right thing. We made the wise choice. Every single customer, including you, has a driving fear. You ready? It's the fear of being taken. It's the fear of being duped. It's the fear of being lied to. It's the fear that I made a stupid choice by doing business with you. I can't believe I was dumb enough to buy that from you. Now, everybody can call it buyer's remorse or whatever, but it's just a fear that everybody who gets out a credit card or plops down cash, or does anybody write a check anymore, or a debit card? We get gas in our car and we pay. I got to burn premium fuel in my ride. Yeah, it's a real high dollar ride. Come on, it's a Mazda Speed 3. It's a little four banger that just runs like a scalded dog, but you do have to burn higher octane fuel. And right now in Dallas, Texas, you can get premium fuel most anywhere for, what is it, $3.73 a gallon. Just regular unleaded is like, pick a number, $3.40 something a gallon. Let's say that I pull in, I get gas, I'm feeling pretty good, $3.73, pretty good. I pull out and I go two blocks and it's $3.69. Now, it's a small car. It's 11 gallons. I mean, we're talking cents. But you just feel like, can't believe I paid $3.73. I can't believe I paid 4 cents a gallon more. And we've all felt it. We've all felt it. So that just drives home the point that it's not about the money. That's nothing. It's 4 cents a gallon. If you get 11 gallons, it's not even 50 cents. But it's those numbers that stare at us every time we drive past a gas station. You know, we're looking at the 373, the three whatever. And I got it at 373. I could have had it for 369. I'm an idiot. Well, if we can feel that way, and we can, over something less than 50 cents, and we do, imagine how your customers feel. It's been a good while ago, but I was having a conversation with someone and they had an online offering, and the online offering, if you went to their page and you clicked buy or add to cart. I don't remember. I think it must've been add to cart. If you added it to cart, it put it in at a certain price. But if the customer backed out and they stayed on the page, and you've all seen those little, you know, notices, you know, you sure you want to leave this page? And they encourage you to not leave the page. And in some cases, if you don't leave the page, guess what happens? Yeah, you get a lower price. I had been talking with a guy and he'd bought something online like that. And he had some online offerings and he bought something like that. Was that kind of asking my advice about this stuff? Like, you know, like I have a clue. Well, I've got a clue. I have a clue about customer psychology and whatnot. I certainly don't put myself out here as a guru for selling information products because I don't do that. But not yet anyway. Yeah. I got plenty of you encouraging me to do that. By the way, keep doing it. One of these days I'll get around to it, but here's the story. So he goes on, he's bought this product, and for whatever reason, he went back to this page and he clicked whatever that, you know, to cancel, and realize that the price was half. You talk about hacked off now. He bought it at full price, and he realized that had he backed out, had he not just been so quick to hit pay, he could have had it for half price. So here was the conversation. What did I think about that tactic? And I said, yeah, honestly, I think it sucks. I get why they do it, but I think it sucks. And I'll tell you why. It's tantamount to what we've historically kind of dogpiled Sports Illustrated for years. So Sports Illustrated does this campaign. Hey, Mr. Customer. Hey, Mr. Customer. Hey, new subscriber. We're going to give you the football phone. We're going to give you this free t-shirt. We're going to give you this, that, and the other. And we just throw in all kinds of freebies, but the disclaimer is it's for new customers only, new subscribers only. Meanwhile, you've got thousands, millions of people with their hands in the air saying, hey, I've been a loyal subscriber to Sports Illustrated for years. What do I get? Oh, you get the big finger. You get nothing. You don't even get a thank you. I don't like that. I don't like that model. I just think it's bad business. You know, reward me for being a loyal customer. What do I get? You can get a poke in the eye. You don't get anything. But if you're brand new, and we get it. We know why. It's all about customer acquisition. We're trying to get new customers. We need new customers. So we're going to pile on a lot of bonuses, you know, for the new customers. No, we're not going to get you people that are already here. We got you. Ah, there's the rub. Had a conversation just today with somebody. We're talking about customer retention. Customer retention. How do you keep customers? Well, unfortunately, a lot of people don't care. They're not paying attention to how they keep customers. They're just worried about getting new ones. What about all the ones you're hacking off? Oh, well, that's, you know, it happens. Well, it doesn't have to happen. Stop it. Customer expectations. The reason we have some customer retention problems is customers have an expectation and we're not fulfilling that expectation. And we're basically saying, you know what? We don't care. We need new people. You see it every day in social media. A blogger's got 1,000 readers, 1,000. It's chump change. Come on. I mean, copy bloggers got, there's six figures. We need more. We need more. You 1,000, y'all don't matter. Why don't they matter? Because we've already got you. Oh, well, what if you don't? What if you wake up tomorrow and that 1,000 is cut in half? Now, how much do you care about the 500 that left? Oh, yeah. Well, where'd y'all go? What happened? You hacked us off. That's what happened. We got tired of you pitching yourself constantly. We got tired of you talking about yourself constantly. We got tired of your, you know, whatever. So we left. Well, wait, come on back. Come on back. Good luck. Oh, there's the rub. The customer who has an expectation and we fail. And so now we've got this whole notion of recovery. How do you recover? Customer wants to leave. Customer wants to walk away. Customer's done. Never going to fly you again. Never going to buy your stuff again. I did it with an audio company. I have two audio interfaces in the studio here. By all accounts, a good company. By the way, a company in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Come on, I mean, I went to LSU. I got no axe to grind here. If anything, I could be sympathetic to this company. But I'm not. I've gone on record in social media via Twitter, and I didn't do it to be hateful. I did it to see if I could get anybody at the company to even recognize anything. because I couldn't get any help at all. I've had two instances with this company, and both of them went identically the same, and they were both bad. They both sucked. And I got a customer service manager who did the same thing on both occasions. I mean, you could hold one situation up against the other one, and they happened a year apart on two different pieces of gear, both made by this company, obviously. They mirrored each other. Now, I know enough about customer service because I've spent my life in it to know that is not a coincidence. That's the way they do business. There's my problem. There are outliers, good and bad. It happens. I get that. I am perfectly okay. Sometimes people get stupid. Sometimes people make a bad decision. Sometimes people say the wrong thing. We've got two instances here documented. They went down exactly the same way with the exact same hateful tone and the exact same outcome. That ain't an accident. I'm not that stupid. It's the culture. That caused me to say, I'm never, ever going to buy another piece of gear from this company again. And I won't. And you know what? I don't have to. They don't have a monopoly on their particular audio interfaces. Nobody does. So I've got choices. And these are not insignificant pieces of gear. These are about $500 a piece. That's a lot of money. But that's beside the point, right? Because we can get hacked off for 44 cents on a tank of gas. I have an expectation that I'll pay a certain amount of money and certain things will happen. The product will be repaired. It'll be repaired in a timely fashion. They'll return it to me. That's it. Nothing crazy. Not expecting, you know, somebody to parachute out of the sky over the Yellow Studio and fix me. Okay, but just that reasonable expectation, which, by the way, they established, because they outline, here's what will happen, here's how much it is, plug in your credit card amount, you know, email us, we'll give you this return authorization, and here's how. Okay, that's what I did. Didn't happen the way they said it would happen. What's going on there? Think about what you're telling your customer to do, and then think about your reaction when your customer does what you tell them to do, but it doesn't happen the way you tell them it's going to. Whose fault is that? Hello, mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the stupidest one of all? And sometimes it's us, and we have to say so. Sometimes we gave you an expectation. We set this expectation, Mr. Customer, and we're sorry. We failed. I don't know about you, but wouldn't you just nearly keel over dead if somebody said that to you? Wouldn't you just keel over dead if somebody actually gave you a heartfelt apology because they didn't do what they said they would do, and they told you, you ready? I'm going to give you a magic phrase as we wind down. Here's the magic phrase. And no, it's not I'm sorry. But yeah, we need to say that sometimes. I'm going to make you happy. I guarantee you, I'm going to make you happy. I promise you, I'm going to make you happy. I've said it probably more this week than I've said it for a very long time to people. It's never failed me. It's just never failed me. I can't tell you how many businesses I have advised, when you have a customer problem, now you've got to make good on it. Make that commitment. Make a commitment that you're going to make them happy. And of course, the first thing that comes up, well, so you're saying that, you know, when they demand that they want their money back. Okay, well, I'm going to give you your money back. No. That my promise wasn't that I was going to do everything you demanded of me. My promise is I'm going to make you happy. And you can do that. Somebody could say that to you, and first and foremost, you have to believe them. And so when we communicate to people, we can't fake caring. We've got to make dead solid certain that we care. American Airlines can't get on Channel 8, local ABC affiliate, and say, we care, because their actions don't show it. Nobody's going to believe it. If we saw that they were trying, even if we saw they were trying and failing, the NFL made no apologies about, you know, this debacle game between Green Bay and Seattle. Seattle fans loved it. Great. Thought it was wonderful. The whole world dogpiled it. And the NFL, there should have been an interference penalty, but, you know, we stand by it and the game stands. Well, come on. I mean, what else could they do? But, yeah, come on, that was stupid. It was disingenuous, and nobody bought it. Nobody believed them. And Goodell gets on there today, and he says some stuff. And, yeah, okay, he's a lawyer. They're all lawyers, and we know that. And most of us don't have a real fond opinion. I've got good friends that are attorneys. But, you know, by and large, I mean, attorney jokes exist for a reason. You know, kind of like blonde jokes. My wife loves blonde jokes, and she's blonde, by the way. Oh, it's stereotypical. It doesn't mean that it's typical. But we have expectations, and we get really disappointed when our expectations falter. And we get our nose bent out of shape, and there's so much emotion. And here's the real rub, because here's what we need to do as business owners. We've got to manage those expectations. We have to clearly communicate. We've got to show extreme disappointment by being extremely disappointed. I really do tire of business owners who constantly, behind closed doors, moan and groan and bewail customers. If you don't have a genuine concern, if you don't have a genuine love for your customers, if you don't have a genuine appreciation of customers, you deserve to go out of business. Sooner the better. Because the world's full of too many people like that. No, you need to be a person who's committed to your customer. Because what you want from them is the same commitment. If you get up in the morning and you have 1,000 subscribers and you bemoan the fact that that's not enough, think about getting up the next morning and having that number be half. And then you'll think about the value. It'll be too late. Think about it now. I don't have anywhere near 1,000, by the way. But I'm thankful for each and every one. And you're paying customers not with money, but with something infinitely more valuable, and that is time and attention, and I know it. I value it. I want you to know that. I hope you do. I mean it. I'm not being insincere about it. It's just high time that we really focus on our customer base and realize that there are names attached, there are people, they have fears, they have frustrations, and it's our job to eliminate and alleviate those fears and those frustrations as best we can by making sure that we're constantly touching and we're reassuring them. And if you haven't started that, I would encourage you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. I don't know when you're listening to this, but tomorrow, if tomorrow's a work day for you, tomorrow, set about to start reassuring customers, even if you think they already are reasonably assured. Focus on it. Think about it. Everybody likes to be appreciated. Show your customers that you have a great appreciation for them. If you do it, you can keep them forever. All right. We're getting up to 45 minutes. I did not mean to wax on so much. You can tell that I get worked up about it. Customer service is it's a real heartfelt issue for me. I've been passionate about it for over 3 decades now, because it's just that important. You're important. I appreciate you. Help get the word out. Spread the word about PoodleNetwork.com, if you don't mind. I'd love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast. I'd love it if you would leave me a 5-star review at iTunes. It'll just help more people find out about me. I'm having great fun doing some behind the scenes, some inside the Yellow Studio videos for the people that are on the email list. I'd love to have you in that group. Just plug in your name and email address in the upper right-hand corner of the website, inside the Yellow Studio. It's about a weekly video that I'm doing now. That's it for me. Have a great weekend. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is BulaNetwork.com. I'm in the Yellow Studio.